They change cultures. They're heat seekers. They run at adversity and embrace change. These are the Room Tilters.
Somebody who can change the temperature in a room when they walk in. I mean, that's metaphorical for somebody who can influence those around them and make it such an impact quickly, emphatically, and long-lasting, whether it be an organization, a team, a relationship, whatever it might be.
This is the Room Tilters podcast, presented by Limitless Minds. Co-hosts DJ Eitzen and Harry Wilson, founders of peak performance and leadership consulting company, Limitless Minds, explore how the best and brightest change the temperature in a room. From sports, the military, entertainment and media, clinical psychologists to CEOs, this podcast will navigate what it takes to think big and go far. And now, DJ and Harry.
All right, welcome to the Room Tilters podcast. My name is DJ Eitzen, and today our guest is Mike C-Rock Sirocco. C-Rock really just dropped some knowledge on us, Harry, and he's just doing amazing things to impact people. What'd you think of the show?
Man, I was really impressed, man. I thought it was super authentic. I love authenticity. You know, he's a big thinker and has kind of, you know, has plans. You know, he has plans, and he's really trying to go somewhere. This guy's got a podcast, right, called What Are You Made Of? You know, we often talk about the people that we're working with that you're made for this.
That's right.
A lot of what you're made of is how you know, the own ingredients that you put together, and other people aren't making you, you're creating your own story, right? Folks are going to really enjoy listening to him, C-Rock as they call him. C-Rock. But I think also I suggest that maybe you guys give him a follow on Instagram or whatever platform you use, because I think that he's going to have some good content out there for folks.
Yeah, he's another guy that's on the rise. I mean, he talking about accountability on this, I thought was really strong. You know, he also, you know, book smarts versus street smarts. He had this hustle to him. Everything he did, you know, he increased his activity, outwork you, not just take the situation for what it was or what it is. And if it's negative, he just turns that into a positive and finds the opportunity behind it. So C-Rock was, he was strong. He was really strong. And I think the listeners are going to enjoy it. So enjoy the podcast with the Room Tilters and C-Rock. All right, let's get it started. We have our guest today, C-Rock, Mike Sirocco. Excited to have you on the call today, man. How's it going, C-Rock?
What's up, DJ? Harry, glad to be here. Thank you so much. I always like to express gratitude because the opportunity to be on here and share with you guys and your audience is an honor. So thank you.
I appreciate that, man. You know, Harry, I'd love to have a nickname like C-Rock, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Well, you had Harry B. Productions or something at one point, didn't you?
HB Productions. HB Productions. But that's a story for another day. But DJ, you have one, man. Your name is DJ. So
that's
like
true. That's true. You're right.
Yeah, you know I mean, it's like
that's
DJ.
That's true. So. That is true. Yeah, it's kind of built in. That's good. So now but C-Rock is an author. You're about to write it, right? You got a book in the works right now?
Yes, I do.
That's right.
Yes, I do.
He's a father. He's a husband, you know, he's got his own podcast. He's leading a sales team. And today we're going to try to get a sneak peek behind how you tilt a room, man, how you influence people and get a little idea around that. So, I want to start it off with this, man. Tell us a little bit about your background, how you got to where you are today and a little bit about yourself.
Well, currently my main flow is, from the mortgage industry. I have just over 40 person team. We're dynamic. We set ourselves apart from anyone else because we work off certain principles. People look at us like we're crazy. We produce a lot. We always have an upward trajectory. And I'm fired up to lead that team. And I'm very fortunate to work with my little brother and three of my best friends I grew up with since we were 10 years old. So that's my main flow. But there was a time about 2 years ago where we had a setback with another company that we were under, a different platform. And you know, I don't want to get into a lot of details with that, but it was a setback financially with morale. And, you know, at that moment, I realized something. I was like, you know what? We're in a mortgage business. That's our vehicle. But I really build people every day. That's what I focus on every time I wake up in the morning. How can I build the people? Who needs help today? Who needs to be just raised up and encouraged? And when you do that for your team and your business, it's the difference maker. So, you know, that's what I'm doing now. And I have the podcast and author and all the other stuff. It's all because it's all leading to one direction. I want everybody to understand my number one dominating rule and principle that I live off of is to turn all setbacks, letdowns, negativity, including people that are around you, into rocket fuel for your future. Yeah. And the reason I say rocket fuel is because we got to get to orbit. Like, we're all shooting for orbit. not just getting up in the air somewhere. And rocket fuel is the only thing I know that can get you into orbit, away from gravitational pull and suppressors and negativity. So that's my main principle, and that's the mission that I'm on, is to get the word out on that so people can be proactive in their lives when it comes to setbacks.
I got a question for you, okay? And we're going to get to some of the meat here, but I got a question. So you're working with some of your best friends and your brother, right? Give me some advice, man, because I got my best friend here and like a brother, DJ. And he's like, he's older than me, man, so he's like a big brother. He's always got something to say. You know, we tussle here and there, but all, when it comes down to it, you know, actually I texted him some gratitude yesterday about, you know, growing this business with him. But I'm like little brother, man. What kind of advice can you give people that are working with family and with best friends, and kind of what's that experience been like for you, and has that impacted, y'all's growth at all along the way?
Absolutely. It started off slower than it should have because of the fact that we didn't feel comfortable holding each other accountable. You know, that's a problem when it comes to friends and family. But then mm-hmm. I realized that we're not going to go anywhere unless we hold each other accountable. And we had to have, a come to Jesus meeting and say, hey, guys, listen, we need to understand that if we see each other lacking, that we're okay calling each other out.
Right.
And if you get defensive for a minute, let it last a minute. But after that, you need to understand that we're calling each other out because we want to lift each other up.
That's right.
And when I said that to them, I also had to tell them that, look, if I have areas where I need, maybe I have some blind spots, come to me. I'm okay with it, because at the end of the day, our mission is to reach our goal. And we set such big goals that it moves the needle. Like, we're willing to give stuff up and sacrifice to get to it. We don't run out of energy because our goal is so big. Mm-hmm. So, but that's the biggest piece of advice, is you have to hold each other accountable and lead.
Mm. Love that. What'd you say? Call each other out so we can lift each other up. That's strong, man. That's strong. So did you grow up in the Ocean City, Maryland area? Is that where you're from, or is that where you just landed?
So I'm from outside of Philly. I played college football. I'm 5'6¾", and I was 185 pounds and about 4'6" speed. So I had to go to Division III, and I went to Salisbury University here in Maryland and ended up in Ocean City, settling down with my beautiful wife. And I love the ocean. It's right here. And, you know, I can get away to anywhere really quickly because I like to travel too. So,
you know, outside of Philly, it's funny because I went to University of Richmond, Mike. So I went to University of Richmond. I played football and baseball there. So one double A. Yes, right. And but it was funny because Richmond is kind of like a destination, I feel like, for like northeastern part of the U.S., you know. So it's like about as far south as people want to go that are from, you know, from like Jersey or Philly or Massachusetts. And but what's funny is I had so many friends that are from the Philly area, like Malvern Prep or wherever, right? And, you know, but you'd ask people, hey, where are you from? And like, it seemed like 90% of the time somebody would say outside of Philly. I'm like, is that an actual city? Like, it's so popular, like outside of Philly is like an actual place. It's fantastic. But I've learned more about outside of Philly as I've gotten older and professional as a professional and, you know, calling a lot of clients in that area. It's like this whole, you know, that outside of Philly, Jersey area is a big pharmaceutical kind of like, you know.
Well, I grew up in the mushroom country.
Okay.
So it's this mushroom capital of the world called Kennett Square. And it's about 30 to 40 minutes outside the city.
Yeah. Let's go. Are you an Eagles fan?
Yeah. Should I say yes now? Right. Like this.
Season's a marathon.
Yeah, it is.
Hopefully Carson can get it together, but it's not just a one guy show. But
everything, man. But you know, at the end of the day, I look for people that tilt the room to root for.
I love
just to use that, like I do. And Russell, like I said, he's one of my favorites. I hate when he comes to Philly, but he's one of my favorites. And just that type of person, that's who I root for. Besides being a hometown Philly fan, you know.
Well, you know, like there was this, you know, and some people, if you follow it close enough, you've heard this story before. But you know, I think we really thought the Eagles were going to draft him. And they've since said that they were going to pick him up when that next pick. I think they actually got Nick Foles, but they were going to pick him up next, and the Seahawks beat him to it. But I think he was pretty close to being an Eagle.
Wow, man.
Yeah.
So back in Philly, what are some lessons that you learned growing up in Philly that you carry with you to this day?
Well, I'm going to tell you a quick story. My dad, so I come from a broken home, and I'm not saying to be a victim or anything. I want to share this with you so that you know what I'm made of, right? So I came from a broken home with a lot of conflict growing up, and my parents, I don't remember them together. I did the every other weekend thing, mm-hmm. conflict with child support, custody, step parents being involved with all the crap, right? Yeah. And when you're a kid and all this stuff's going around above you, man, you get confused. It has a big impact on you. Well, I decided to leave my dad's when I was 11 after living there for 3 years outside of Philly. And he got court papers served to him and he wasn't very happy about it. And my dad's a Mason. He still is to this day. That's why I have the bricks back here. Big forearms, rough hands, hard worker. And he always had a wad of $100 bills in his pocket. I always looked up to him for the knot that he had with the rubber band around it.
Yeah.
And when he found out I wanted to move back to my mom's, he wasn't very happy. He said, you know, they don't have it very well there. They don't have a lot of money. You sure you want to do that? Mm-hmm. And I did. I wanted to. I stuck to my guns because it's what I believed in. And he said, all right. So he pulls out the wad of $100 bills. He peels one off, crumples it up, and throws it at me and said, here, you're going to need this when you're living on the streets with your mother one day then. Mm. So look, I'm 11, not 18. I'm not a man at that point. I'm an 11-year-old kid thinking to myself, first of all, I thought this was all ordinary life. I didn't know any different, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking to myself, first of all, I'm stubborn. It's an asset and a liability, strength and a weakness.
That's right.
But I'm stubborn. I'm like, dude, you're not going to win. 11 years old, I'm sitting there like, not a punk kid, but I'm just like, man, there's no way I'm going to need that money. And secondly, I thought to myself, since this is an ordinary scenario, I thought, there's other people out there that had their trainer throwing a towel on them. And I'm not going to let other people down. I'm going to show other people being a role model. Everything I do, sports, school, everything I do, work, I'm going to focus on being the best I possibly can be to show them you can come from anything. And so I was on this mission for 30 some years. And 3 years ago, I realized I got to bottle this. Like I realized that like I got something here. When I shared it with someone and they were inspired by it, I'm like, really? I thought this was just ordinary. I thought this is what everybody does. And so then I started on this mission with What Are You Made Of? Because I say that to me to myself all the time. Like, what are you made of, man? Let's go. You've been through all this stuff. You've been through the courts. You've been through the child psychologists. You've been through all that stuff as a kid. Look, this business stuff, this relationship stuff, this is easy. Let's go. So I just saw that, wanted to bottle it, and I wanted to start pushing it out into the world and help, you know, hundreds of millions of people with it.
I love that, man. I mean, you know, it's obvious that mindset has been a part of your success, right? And also your continued success you're going to have, because your story's still being written, right? But you know, one question that we get, because we're kind of in the same business, you know, you and I, you and the three of us, right? We're kind of all we're in the same business of trying to take people from here to there, and wherever they're at, even if they're already, you know, elite at what they do, we're still trying to take them from there to somewhere else, right? To something above that. But you know, a question that I got on a virtual engagement the other day from somebody that I think might have been a little cynical, a little older gentleman, kind of probably had seen it all, right? You know, has seen all the programs and all the professional development things. And one of the things he asked is like, hey, listen, this stuff you guys are talking about is not new, right? This, you know, I've been, you know, I learned this stuff in the 60s. And how come we're doing this, and how come this stuff doesn't seem to stick, right? And honestly, the question pissed me off, but it was a question, right? And because it was because this individual was asking it, it was viable. Let me ask you the same question, right? Like, and from the standpoint of what you work with business professionals, right? What do you think is the hardest part about getting them to change their mindset or grow their business or take the next step, next leap?
There's a couple things. One is knowledge. So there's street smarts and there's book smarts, right? We've all heard of that before. Mm-hmm. And by the way, there's nothing new out there. Like, it's just how you frame it.
Yeah.
Right. And some people may relate to me, and then some people may relate to you. Some people might relate better to Tony Robbins, which a lot of people do. But that's not going to stop me from my mission. Right. Mm-hmm. But I think it has to do with book smarts versus street smarts. Book smarts is, you know, college, knowledge, all that stuff, but it doesn't really get you anywhere if you don't take action.
That's right.
The action is in the street smarts, the hustle. So I started with street smarts. Now, I went to college, dropped out with a 4.0. I knew how to do all that stuff, but I stopped absorbing knowledge at some point. Mm-hmm. And so I was hustling, taking action, and it hit a ceiling. And then I needed to figure something out. I'm like, what am I missing here? The missing was getting a mentor, coach, and or the knowledge, the book smarts, right? So you had to add that ingredient in to take it to the next level. And I think a lot of people are either not taking enough action. They know the stuff, but they're not taking the action. Or they're taking enough action, but they hit a ceiling and then they're not adding that other ingredient in. And, you know, I think that's the key. And our memories aren't that great. So that guy heard that before, right? He might've heard it before, but I know I've heard some things from my mentors And when they tell me it, it's like, dude, I know that. Why didn't I do that? Why didn't I kick ass? It's because all the stuff going around in our lives distracts us. We don't get laser focused and we forget about some things. Mm-hmm. So that's my take on that. And by the way, guys, I forgot. I usually ask permission at the beginning of the show to get fired up because I'm full of passion. And it's sometimes people take it the wrong way. The Philly, I just can't help myself.
That's the Philly.
You don't have to ask permission, man. That's what we're hoping for. I think that, you know, virtual like chat room in this scenario we're in. So I commented in the chat, but I was like, you know what? I think one of the challenges too is that people are looking for this magic pill. Right. People are looking for like overnight, like change, overnight growth, overnight success, overnight, whatever you know, overnight oats, hell, you know what I mean? There's this actual product out there, right? Like looking for overnight, you know, weight loss, whatever it is. Right. And it just doesn't exist, you know? And so if, you know, you think about physical fitness, right? I mean, you can go to the gym, you can go to Orange Theory, you can do CrossFit, whatever, for 2 weeks. But if you know, you're not going to change over in that period of time, right? It takes building blocks, takes time, takes conditioning. That's why what we do, what you're doing, we call it mental conditioning. You know, conditioning is the key word because it takes time. This building blocks and a set of experiences over experience to start to build that muscle, if you will. And so I think that some people don't have the stamina, you know, and the adversity tolerance to kind of really start to apply these things. That's really part of putting them in action. So I think this whole magic pill, this immediate gratification thing is part of the problem, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's interesting.
Well, I think a couple things. One, if people can get the idea of this setback, turn setbacks into rocket fuel ahead of time, they'll start looking for problems. And when a problem comes and a setback comes, they don't get discouraged because they understand it's fuel, it's supposed to happen. So that concept right there, one, will help people. And number two, I was on the boardwalk the other day. We have a boardwalk here in Ocean City and there's a big Ferris wheel at the end of it. And I go there every day. I park at the end and I walk the whole boardwalk and back, or I'll jog it depending on the day. I took my daughter, she's 8 now. I took her up there the other day and I said, look, we're going to start walking. Do not look back. Just let's keep walking. I'll tell you when to look back. And about a mile and a half down, I said, all right, look back. The Ferris wheel obviously looked really tiny. It looked really far away. And she's like, wow, I can't believe how far we've come. And I said, yeah, do you think we just jumped here or flew here? Like, how did we get here? And she came up with it. She said, one step at a time. Nice. And I said, exactly. And I looked at the counter on my phone. You know, you could see how many steps you've taken. And I showed her how many steps it was. And she was just blown away. But that concept right there, if people can really grasp that concept, I think it's about painting pictures for people.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Tell them why it's like this. Tell them the story behind it. And then when they grasp it, it makes all the difference. But that's a little story. I just noticed that the other day, talking about that. Like one step at a time.
That's a good story. Yeah. How old did you say your daughter was?
I have an 8-year-old daughter and a 14-year-old son.
Awesome. Yeah. No, it's, I mean, you know, and it's funny, if an 8-year-old can understand that and kind of put that together, you know, you look at your team of 40, right? And sometimes you scratch your head. It's like, why can't you put this together? You know, so it's, I think that's, I love how you broke that down so simplistically. You know, you talked about street smarts and that Philly hustle, right? What are like two or three things specifically that you do to hustle hard that you think sets you apart and gives you an advantage over the folks that are out there that you're competing against?
Well, first of all, I don't mean to say this the wrong way, but like I've always gotten everything I want, not as a spoiled kid, but like if I set my intentions on something, I get it. And that's because one, I set my intentions on it. I'm very clear about what I want and I write it down. And then from there, I take massive action. Like I'll go to great lengths ethically to get what I want. And I'm talking about ethically, guys, by the way, not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And the other thing is I won't quit. Like I'm like Rocky in a ring. Like when he falls down, gets back up. Or like a boxer that, you know, you see some of these boxers, you remember Arturo Gatti and Mickey Ward fight when they were beating the hell out of each other and they just kept coming. That's what I see myself as in my mind. I'm constantly coming. I will not stop. And that's just the thing for me. Like same thing if I'm trying to help one of my employees and I'm trying to hold them accountable. I'll say, listen, you may not listen to me now and you may not be doing what you need to do to get to where you're going because you're not ready, but just know this, I will not stop. You gave me permission to hold you accountable. I'm going to keep coming.
Yeah, dude. Like one, you know, speaking of like resilience and, you know, all the other synonyms that go with that, like all of our listeners, DJ and I, we've gotten our ass kicked by 2020, you know, in so many different ways, you know, all of us a little different than the other, but 2020 has brought a lot, right? Obviously the pandemic, the COVID, certainly, I mean, we've seen, you know, we've seen some stars leave us, Kobe and otherwise, right? Certainly we've had the social injustice and the unrest and everything around that. We're in an election year, which is bringing another tone to this thing. 2020 has been a bitch, you know? Like, how has it impacted you, your businesses, your people, and like, what's your mantra? Like, how are you responding to 2020?
So the way I look at things is that there's always something going on, always, every year. It's not just 2020, right? Mm-hmm. What happens is the media pushes stuff out to where they want to and elevates different things. And I'm not saying there's not bad things happen. It's just that they elevate it to extremes. So there's always somewhere where you can point to a reason that you're not successful, that you're not achieving what you want to, or you could use those same things and say, this is why I'm successful. Mm-hmm. And so that little mindset shift is what happens when COVID started to happen. I had no idea the details of it. I had no idea if it was real, fake, if it was going to be big. Mm-hmm. I got my team together and said, guys, I don't know what's going on here. What I do know is we're going to make this the reason that we're going to blow up and be successful. While everybody else runs, we're going to run into it and we're going to make it happen. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but we're going to be in a better situation than if we do the other thing. Mm-hmm. And that's what the way we approached it. And we ended up having 3 record-setting months because I think of that mindset. I also gave everybody an opportunity to get off the boat right, if they weren't on board with it. But let me say something about what's going on now. And, you know, I feel one thing. I love people, man. I love everybody. I want to lift everybody up. And I don't feel that comes through on anything, on the media, either side of the aisle. Like, I want everybody to do good and lift people up. Mm. And I think that there's a lot of lack of responsibility in people. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of people will talk, a lot of people will complain, but most people don't do anything. And that's what bothers me. You know, I think that if that shifts, somehow somebody starts to come out and says, hey, guys, let's take action here. Let's stop talking. I've heard some people say that recently. You guys have heard that, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And no matter what side you're on, what you believe in, it doesn't matter. Guys, at the end of the day, we're human beings and we're trying to lift each other up and be successful and grow. And that's gets lost in all this. And I think we need some big voices to come out and start doing that and start sharing that. And lead the way in that. And that's something that I'm putting some things together right now to do. I'm a little guy, man, 5'6 3/4, right? but I'm going to make a difference with this. And that's something, like I said, I'm putting some things together and I'm going to start trying to recruit some people to get on this mission with me, because we need like a revolution on coming together. And I'm not talking about the people that are having issues by themselves coming together by themselves, but everybody coming together with this thing and getting together and making a difference.
That's interesting. Yeah, I like that. Unpack that then. What are some of your thoughts then on that? Like, what does it look like to come together? You know, obviously you're so people focused, right? All people focused, right? You got, you know, what does it look like to come together?
So there's no shiny bells and whistles, man. It always goes back to the same fundamentals. One thing, everything that we say, do, and think is always leading towards where we want to go or away from it. There's no in between. Every decision I make in the morning, I mean, I think about this as I go throughout my day. Is it going to my intentions? So where, first of all, we have to have intentions. Somebody needs to step up and have a grand vision of where we want to go and have intentions towards that. Because all the decisions that are made and the words that are said are just all being put all over the place because there's not a clear vision. So someone needs to step up that has a voice and set that clear path and that clear vision, not of going against someone or putting someone down, or it's about lifting up. Yeah. And that's not happening often enough, man.
Yeah.
Have you seen or heard of I don't know if it's a documentary by title, by category, Social Dilemma?
I just watched that last night. My wife put it on last night.
DJ put me on that, and then of course as soon as he said something about it, I'm seeing it everywhere. You know, so my wife and I watched it, and it was, you know, it was really interesting for a lot of reasons. I mean, certainly the social media component and like the impact on people and what they take you through there is interesting. But I really feel like it was a great microcosm of what's happening today. Certainly, hence the timing, and even what was happening 20 years ago, 30 years ago, but just without the social media part, right? But just people being influenced by you know, what they surround themselves with, you know, news, social media, and otherwise. And for you and I, for us, social media is such a great tool, right? You know, I'm sure you have tons of followers on Instagram. And I'm sure you utilize it daily. And this is, you know, this is where you're bringing awareness. And at the same time, you see, watch something like Social Dilemma, and you're like, damn. Like, I'm holding my phone while I'm watching it, and I'm looking at it like, oh wait, feel guilty, let me put it down. What was your takeaway from that show? We're giving Social Dilemma a little hype here, so maybe hopefully this podcast sponsored by Social Dilemma.
First of all, I was checking my pocket. I was laying on a couch, and I checked my pockets. I'm like, oh, do I have my phone on me right now? Just making sure, because if my wife looked over, like, trying to prove a point or something. But I didn't have my phone on me, which was a great thing. I left it on the counter, which is cool. But what I did notice of this is that I had a feeling about this before, what it was doing to me. Mm-hmm. And so what I do, and I just tell people it works. I'm not preaching.
Yeah.
I put stuff out on social media a lot. And I feel like it's a duty and obligation to put good stuff out that helps people and lifts people up. Mm-hmm. And but the other part of, as far as scrolling and getting caught up in all of it, I stopped that a while ago, and I have assistants that'll go through, and this is just like I'm just being transparent, mm-hmm. and they'll go through and hit like on some people's stuff for me that are people that are in my circle, mm-hmm. and make comments of things that I told them to comment on. Mm-hmm. And that way I'm not getting caught in the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And you know, that's just what I do, and I use social media and I don't let it use me. And I made that decision. So that show definitely resonated with me. But the other thing is, you know, the kids part of it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting caught in a dilemma where you don't want to give your child a smartphone, but all their friends have one, and then they become an outcast. Yep. And so, you know, it's a difficult thing, man. I don't know the right thing.
We were just having that conversation this morning. It's funny. So you kind of got what I got, and obviously with a 14 and 8-year-old, and DJ and I have, how many kids between the two? 8 kids between the two of us. So he's got 5, I got 3. Yeah. 6 daughters and 2, and he's got the boys. I don't have the boys, but you know, and my kids are 8, 5, and 3. DJs are from 12 to 2. So like, you know, we got the whole gamut, you know, from 12 to 2, we got 8 kids between 12 and 2. So, and it's just shocking. I was asking DJ questions around it, 'cause his kid's a little older. Like, hey, does Shea have a cell phone? Hey, how are you talking about with her? Like, what are you looking out for? And you know, it makes me nervous, 'cause I've seen people at the school that my girls go to, you know, leave the school and wonder, hey, what happened to so-and-so? Well, there was some stuff on social media. It was super embarrassing there. Now they're leaving the school, and it's just, and the access, and even though you can put securities on the thing and you can check and you can ask, like, you know, what's to stop your 12-year-old daughter or your 14-year-old son or whoever it is, from going down the wrong path on that thing, man? It's just like, it's frightening. It's frightening.
I think one of the things I focus on is trying to really work with my kids on the same principles I talk about all the time. They mm-hmm. don't always want to hear it. But then the other thing I look at is, it's not just talking to them. It's me taking the actions that I always preach and making sure that I'm following through and being a role model to them.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. And you set those things, and hopefully they make the best decisions. You still kind of got to give them some guidance. But you are having things interjected into your house from the outside world that you have no idea. And it's like somebody's breaking into your house. So I do have an issue with that. And, I don't know the answers, man. I have answers to a lot of things. This is, you know, I'm just working through this myself,
you know,
too.
I think what you do with people, though, is, and you're very intentional about this, whether it's your kids or the folks that you work with or work for you, or the people that you're influenced on the podcast, is that, you know, that you're conditioning them, right? Whether through the, you know, through social media, through the podcast, through the book that you have coming out. And so being intentional about how you are conditioning others and how you're conditioning yourself, right? I think that's the awareness of that. And so I was telling Harry today, he said, well, what are you doing, you know, with the kids? And I said, well, I'm just having a constant conversation around, you know, what's going on in their life, and then how social media plays into that. It's not like, hey, let's have a conversation about social media. It's just talking about the things that are going on, and inevitably, social media comes up, and whether it's TikTok or Snapchat, it's always coming up in some form or fashion. So I think being intentional about it and knowing the fact that, like, I mean, it's a big part of what they do. They're picking their phone up. They're watching us pick our phone up constantly. And so I think having the self-awareness, like you said, we're, you know, putting the phone up on the counter and just being present And that models something I think that, you know, you want to see from your kids.
What's crazy is that, like, my 8-year-old doesn't have a cell phone or smartphone yet, or I haven't gotten there. But she walks around the house doing TikTok dances. And I'm like, how do you even know what that looks like? How do you know this dance? And she's not great at it, which is another thing, which is a problem. But like, how do you know these dances? And you don't, you know, in theory, I'm thinking she doesn't have access to this stuff. But meanwhile, she's replicating everything, anything like what she's seeing somewhere, you know, like where the hell is she getting this stuff from? So like you said, it's like somebody's breaking into your house because you feel like you got these four walls up and this secure, you know. And meanwhile, when they're over at so-and-so's house, so-and-so's older sibling has it and they're like, watch, they're huddled up watching it, whatever. So it's just, man, it's crazy. And it's like, it's just want to like lock them up and like keep them in the house and have them go nowhere. But that's not the plan either. So it's crazy, man.
That causes other problems when you do that.
exactly. There's no, you can't, it's a lose-lose there. But listen, man, this has been really good. Like, I wanted to ask you, as we kind of wrap, what's next for you? What should people be looking out for? And where can they find you out there?
So first of all, I have a book coming out at the end of this year. Pre-sale is going to be opening up soon. It's called Rocket Fuel. And, you know, that's going to be a part of the stories that I told you with many more. And then also the podcast that I have on, I've had a lot of great guests that came on and shared their stories of how they turned setbacks into rocket fuel. So I'm going to honor them and share some of their stories as well. I just want to make a difference and impact with this and show, basically, I was thinking about this today, one of my employees and my kids, everything I do throughout the day, throughout weeks is always to show them what's possible. Because I'm just, like I said, I keep saying this, I'm 5'6 3/4". I'm an ordinary dude. I just want to show them, like, I set my intentions and never quit and then watch what happens, man. And so that's it. But at Mikey C Rock on Instagram is where you can find me. I answer my DMs. I love engaging with people through there. TheMikeCRock.com is the website where you can find information about the book.
C Rock. Awesome. All right. So we got rapid fire questions, man. You ready?
Let's go.
All right. Let's go. So Harry loves sandwiches. He's on the sandwich kick. So I think he put this one in the thing. Best place to get a sandwich.
So I like Primo Subs. It's out of Philly, but it's the best bread, man. So that's my favorite.
Nice. Awesome. Most interesting thing you've done during the pandemic?
The most interesting would be that I started riding bikes, which I'd never really done before, but I started riding all over the place with my kids and not just in the neighborhood, but like far distances and a mountain bike on a street, which doesn't work really good, but.
That's great. All right. Who's the person that you most like to meet?
Let's go with Russell Wilson.
Okay. There you go. What do you do for fun?
Hold up. Harry's like,
so we can make that happen. I mean, it's just like, he's kind of a dork. No need. Yeah.
What do you like to do for fun?
I used to golf a lot and I'm a low single digit handicap, but you know, with this mission that I'm on now, I find myself not as interested anymore. So now it's to me right now, it's just working on my projects, man. I mean, that's what I like. I live and breathe it.
Awesome. All right. And I think last question, class of 95, high school.
Yeah.
All right. Favorite hip hop song during that time frame. It takes you back nostalgically to that 95 time frame.
You know, I think so. I from graduating and into college, there's a lot, man. But like Jay-Z came out right when I was in like, I think 93, 95 in that range there where he started to really come out. And a lot of Jay-Z's songs back then. I can't even think off the top of my head right now. And then we got into Ja Rule in college. Ja Rule and DMX came out and all that. Man, the favorite song. You know what? I'm just going to go a little later than that and say Bling Bling by the Hot Boys.
Oh, yeah. Cash Money. Nice. All right.
Nice.
There's a documentary out right now. I think it's on Netflix called The Rough Rider Chronicles. Have you seen that one yet?
Oh, you know what? You know what a good one was too? Black Rob. Whoa.
Oh,
yeah. That beat comes on. I just can't help it, man.
Yeah, that is it.
I'll go after it.
That's great, man. Well, hey, listen, it's been a pleasure. C-Rock, we appreciate you, man. We love your heart for people. Keep doing what you're doing, influence and impacting people in Tilton Rooms, man. Great to meet you.
Hey, I appreciate you.
And we'll have to find a way to collaborate, man.
Yeah, too, and so. I'll be happy to do anything you guys need to help out, anything, man. I love working with people, so same mission.
Awesome, brother. Nice to meet you, man.
Thanks, dude.
All right, cool.
You've been listening to the Room Tilters podcast. If you love it, do us a favor and rate us. Write us a review and share it with a friend. We appreciate you, our listeners, and remember, You don't have to be sick to get better.